Praise the Lord, and God bless you, Pastor Rice, Sister Rose, and all the saints. This is Sister Diane Johnson, who's very thankful and blessed to be at the Overcomer. Thank you, Jesus, and praise your holy name. And I do pray for all the precious brothers and sisters everywhere and ask your continued prayers for me as they are appreciated. And the broadcasts and the daily bread are always a blessing and very much needed. Thank you, Brother Rice, for all the good edifying and preaching of Jesus, and just with the love and joy you always have for the Lord, just keep on preaching as the saints do need you. May the Lord help the saints to stand fast and fight the good fight of faith. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, come with my prayer. May the Lord bless you all, and Maranatha.
Woo! Well, I guess the Lord put it on my heart to speak a word again, I believe, and of course that takes faith. When Pastor asked me about ready to speak, I said, yeah, I'm ready, but that's by faith, because I believe God's going to help me. I'm weak, and He knows it. But again, I believe I'm standing here in the fear of the Lord, in the will of God. And when Pastor asked me, I mentioned about speaking, I wasn't sure if he was going to put me up or not, but I wanted to be ready just in case. So I was praying this morning. I said, Lord, can you give me just one more day and get ready? Well, he didn't hear that prayer, obviously. So for sure, I'm going to need his help, and I'm glad for that. But anyway, I guess I think about often that, whole lives God was with us from the beginning all the way through. And if we look back and we really think about it and stuff, we can really see him in everything. And we really should do that. That's a good exercise, really it is. And that helps you to keep God in the knowledge of all things. And so as Pastor was speaking, and brought me back to something I think about, and Brother David knows about this. There's where I come from originally, there's amusement parks called Kennywood, and they have a roller coaster. It's called the Thunderbolt. Well, you get on there, they lock you in the seat, and it starts going up this hill. You get up to the top of the hill. When you get to the top of the hill, down it goes through the mountain. And you got to just hold on till you get to the end. Well, that's how this is. You start out, you get up there, and when you start getting rolling, you just hold on till you get to the end. But see how I put God in the knowledge of that? Okay, anyway, let's see how we start this. Interesting, it's really good that we should listen to the broadcast. We shouldn't have that thing droning in the background. And it's amazing. More and more I'm seeing that God just actually orchestrates all that's on there. Even though the brothers and the sisters, they put it all together, but God's ordering their steps. And it's just like Brother Steer told Terry, the intricate workings of God. And the more we look at this and see it, we'll see these things happening. But it helps us, because it helps us in our believing. So I wrote this, Pastor got this off the broadcast, and same thing he said yesterday. He said, orders the steps those that put their trust in him. And interestingly enough, most of what I'm talking about, going to talk about today, is about trust. So you see, I like it when these things happen like that, because I believe it's the mind and spirit that gives me a witness. So I wrote this down on here. I said, standing up and preaching, I must be the first partaker. So as I started to begin doing this, I guess it makes me understand a little bit more what Pastor Rice goes through. And that actually appreciated me more then, because I come to find out as I stand up and I preach, God makes me live by my words. And I'm glad for that. But I pray as such. I say, Lord, I don't want to be a castaway, so help me live by the words I preach. So we should really understand a lot of times when we pray in a certain manner, things that happen to us are trials or situations, circumstance, they're being ordered, but it's in conjunction of our prayers. And rightly so. And what we should always do is agree with God. And I heard it said one time that, not to pray for patience, because then you're going to have trials. Well, guess what? Whether you pray for patience or you don't, you're going to have trials. So it's better just to agree with God. Amen. And say, okay, I need patience, Lord. I need to love my neighbor. And even sometimes when you would pray, you're having problems getting along with somebody, And you say, oh, Lord, I just wish that I could get along. I wish that I could just love that neighbor and get along. And then you might notice that your little thing amongst them starts to escalate a little bit, and it seems like it gets worse. Well, that's God answering your prayer. See, but this takes a renewal of the mind. And so, you know, so a love a lot of times does what's required, and it'll come through with us offenses, because this gives us the opportunity to be like Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And if we consider all that we've done to him, and he loves us, he's long-suffering with us. So don't, you know, be surprised. That's why a lot of times they say, thinking not strange, the fiery trial, because it just don't work out. It don't go the way you think it's supposed to go. But it goes the way it's supposed to go.
Hallelujah.
God's will. Like me. Okay. Okay, so how shall we work the works of God? And that's to believe on him who he has sent. And now you got to understand that's every brother, every sister. But there's a special emphasis on those that stand up priest, man of God, and because this is the method that God has used to say they believe. Now, he's made it simple in a sense because he has this one method, not five methods, not 10 methods. But you have to understand also that what the devil's always trying to do is he's going to try to target the man of God, the preaching, and us receiving it. And he does that in many ways. He's, you know, the wiles of the devil. Okay, so, but God helps. And I said the other day, I was still saying about, I mentioned Brother Brandon, Brother Stair, and Pastor Rice. And he told Brother Brandon, you got to get the people to believe. Mm-hmm. Told Brother Stair, I want my house full. Mm-hmm. Tells Pastor Rice, feed my sheep. Now, with man, this is impossible. With God, these things are possible. And but he helps the men of God out. One thing he does, he makes them believable. And the first thing he does, he gets them to believe it. For me to stand up and say this, I have to believe it. If I don't believe it and I try to speak it to you all and stuff, it's going to come out. It's just not going to, I'm not going to be believable. See what I'm saying? So first he gets us to believe it. Man of God. So that's what I'm talking about. And the one way he helps the men of God out, he gives them what I call spiritual integrity. He makes them believable. Now, he makes his ministers a flaming fire. God's agents are swift, powerful, and driven by fervent devotion to carry out his will. Human ministry designed to consume spiritual darkness. Now, I got that definition. I liked it, so I used it. So, again, I want to mention a few things about pertaining to the religious spirit. Now, the religious spirit is a defiant, deliberate pursuit after the man of God or the strong man. So it always goes for the head. And the religious spirit is full of flattery. The religious spirit will say what it thinks the other person wants to hear to get what it wants. The religious spirit hates instructions, being told what to do. And the most subtle form of sin is the religious spirit. The whorish religious spirit takes away the heart to get wisdom. Now, every journey begins with the first step. Now, it was interesting. I was thinking about that as I thought, well, maybe what the Lord would have me to say. And what we do, the Lord will do with us. He'll help us to confirm one another. Okay. And so I was thinking about this. Just as I was thinking this, he had Brother Montgomery when I was in the kitchen. He said every journey begins with the first step.
Hallelujah.
So you see how he gave me a witness of that?
Yeah.
So he helped me in this because it helped me in the dealing this. But it did two things. It also helped me in this. It also confirmed Brother Montgomery is my brother.
Amen.
You see how that works?
Yeah.
And so a lot of times the Lord will do that. The other day when I was looking for a fleece or whatever and stuff, I just wrote down what did I write down there? Anyway, right after I wrote it, Edwards spoke it. I mean, as soon as I wrote it, Edwards spoke it. So I said, okay, Lord. Well, so that helped me because I was looking for a fleece to see if the Lord wanted me to stand up. Now, why am I saying this? Because God wants us to discern the Lord's body, and he helps us in that. One way he helps you discern your brother, your sister, is you'll see them sin. Well, why is that? Because God saves sinners. Okay, and you know, most of us, like Brother Steer said, when we began to share. But that's not just the end of it. That's also a forgiven sinner.
Hallelujah.
Okay. And but when, like Brother Steer said, when he began this journey, he said he didn't know what sin was. Well, I was the same way. I didn't even have a clue I was a sinner. So even the knowledge of sin that we have, it's because we're the children of God. Only God can convince a man of sin. So if you can see a sin, it's because God has given you understanding. But that is only God can do that. That's God working in you. It's working in us. And what does God, what did he come to do? He come to save sinners. That'd be us.
Hallelujah.
Okay, so let's see. Okay, so every journey begins with a first step. And seems like when I've been speaking, I get, it seems like I leave stuff out, but then God seems like he gives me some time to put it back in. And so when I was speaking about Solomon, you know, the wisest man that ever lived, he said he set the Proverbs in order. So I went to Proverbs chapter 1, and it talks about, first of all, it talks about his authority. Now, the one precept and principle God always magnifies above all is submission to authority. This is something we really need to get down, okay, because God's the ultimate authority, and he gives authority. But for us to go into the kingdom, you know, we have to get this in our heart, okay? That's why Brother Steer would say, not one iota of I will is born in the kingdom. And so God establishes authority. He also established order. You know, we all know it's the younger submit to the elders. You know, the Jesus Christ, well, the head of every man is a woman. The man is Jesus Christ. The head of Jesus Christ is God. Okay. So there's in the kingdom, there's always going to be levels of order. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, but he is going to be the preeminent one. He's going to be the head. Okay. And so what we do here in a sense is, you know, and Brother Steer said this, this is a type of the kingdom. So we're in training, as it were, but we're also in probation. That's what Pastor Rice was talking about. Okay, so every journey begins with the first step. So when you look in Proverbs chapter 1, first it denotes Solomon's authority, talks about authority. Then it goes into wisdom, which is the principal thing. And then from that, it leads you to the fear of the Lord. Now, the steps of a good man are order of the Lord. So you see, we have to get this down first. Like, okay, one comes before two, two comes before three, three comes before four. Now, I'm saying this in a simplistic way, because if you don't get the fear of the Lord, you don't get wisdom, then you're not going the way you're supposed to be going. So you got to get this down first. So it starts with authority, then goes to wisdom, which brings you to the fear of the Lord. So what we need to actually be desiring is the fear of the Lord. We need the fear of the Lord. I believe that any time the Lord had me to stand up, two things I think he wants me to mention about is authority and the fear of the Lord. Now, it was brought out here that in the end, God is going to, toward the end times, he's going to restore authority and community. Okay, well, without authority, you have no community. You see, otherwise it would just be chaos. So, you know, so God always, in every situation, circumstance, he always has somebody in charge. And one reason for that is because God is not the author of confusion. So, you know, everybody says, okay, what are we going to do today? Well, let's do this, let's do that, let's do that. See? And the other thing is it gives you an opportunity to lay down your will when you submit to somebody. So Pastor Rice, he's the shepherd here. And but he's like a similitude of Jesus Christ. Okay, he's not that he volunteered for that. He said, boy, one day I think I want to be a pastor. No, it's just the one that God has chosen. We're all wretched men. We're just meant to be made perfect. We are what we are by the grace of God. But we also have to remember that, because too often sometimes we will get sort of high-minded in that. We'll think, I know I'm going, let's see. Ooh, help me, Lord. Anyway, praise the Lord. Okay, so we're in training, we're in probation. And I mentioned about the permissible will of God. In that, we'll find ourselves at times sinning. And one of the reasons that God permits that for us, in a sense, too, is, you know, God delights in mercy. You know, he has all this grace and his mercy, and he's chosen us as vessels of mercy. So in our missing the mark and our sin and stuff, it gives him an opportunity to express his grace and his mercy to us. Well, they don't stop there. It also gives you an opportunity to express it to your brother and your sister. It's like I told you before, there's a parallel walk. God does it for us, then we do it for one another.
Hallelujah.
Okay, so pass the similitude. And so we're in training for the final battle. And we're gonna get there. We're gonna learn obedience by the things we suffer, just like what the man of God said. And so as we go through the trials and all, God is dealing with our hearts. It's like we're on the table, operating table. We're under spiritual surgery. Okay, and so, okay, now this is an allegory I thought about one time. I call it the anatomy of the sword. Okay, and you've all seen a sword, two-edged sword. Okay, so the anatomy of the sword. First of all, it has a handle. Anytime you're going about doing anything, in one way or another, you're handling the Word of God, either in obedience or disobedience. Okay, it's got a two-edged sword. It cuts in and it cuts out, but it has a point. Here's the point. It also cuts off. It also cuts off. Are we getting the point? Okay, so that's what I'm saying. Like Pastor Rice said, we're saved, but we got to endure through this. We got to get to the end of this. So we just can't be nonchalant and think, well, I'll just be lackadaisical. I won't strive with everything. I'm just going to sash in the end. That'd be presumptuous. Don't do that. In fact, if you are ordained to eternal life, you won't do that. You'll actually be striving to go in. And, you know, and I always think about striving too. You know, God didn't tell us to cross every T and dot every I. He told us to strive. Well, in your striving, you're going to have ups and downs. You're going to have failures. But are you being obedient? Are we doing the will of God? Okay. Well, then we're striving. Okay. So, you know, you're not going to cross every T. You know, in fact, that's actually a probably good exercise for you to go about sometime to try to cross the T's and dot I's. You know why? You'll figure out you can't do it. Okay. And so in the process of doing that, you'll really understand that you need God to save you.
Hallelujah.
In fact, a lot of times whenever we start out in this walk and stuff, we have a tendency to try to do that. Think, well, I'm just going to be good. You know, well, guess what? How'd it work out? You know, anyway. Okay, so what's on the plate? Anytime Pastor Rice stands up and speaks and all, you know, he talks about the, you know, what's happening here among us and all. And a lot of times you have to really consider that. And we've been told that what takes place here also goes out there, deals with the body of Christ worldwide.
Absolutely.
All right. So God lets these situations stuff manifest among us. That's what's on the plate. What on the day-to-day activity, things that go on and stuff. But we need to remember that, because sometimes we sort of can poo-paw that stuff off. We can think, okay, Pastor Rice, he's talking, and he's talking about this, or he's talking about that, and oh, that's just a general sermon or something. No. He's dealing with what's going on here amongst us. Now, it goes out there, too, as well. Now, I got a good example of this. One time, he was preaching about my precious sister Ann over there, and he was saying, basically, some in her situation, some get like her. Well, they get comfortable in that, you know, and so sometimes they don't seek their deliverance. See what I'm saying? So she's got these infirmities. She has a hard time getting around. But you can get comfortable with that. You get the extra care you get, the extra help and all. And the same day, Brother Stair said basically the same thing on the broadcast. Now, what did I say to her? I said, Ann, you have to really receive this. Now, I'm not saying that's her situation, but God would not have him stand up and say that and have Brother Stair put on a broadcast. That's two witnesses I got. Okay, but I can admonish her too and tell her that, but she has to receive that as well. And that is the time, saints, usually when we need our deliverance. When the trouble of the water comes, when the man of God stands up and he speaks, that's the time to get into the water. Because you may miss the time of your visitation. Now God in his long suffering, his determination to save you, he might visit the issue again and again to get you to where you need to be. But if you keep poo-pawing it off, you keep on hardening your heart, stiffening your neck, well, then you might miss your opportunity. And time is short. So we need to redeem the time and move with fear. Let's see what we got here. Okay. Now, sometimes when a man of God will, he'll reprove and he'll rebuke and he'll speak a word to the saints and will answer them back. Well, that's rebellion. That's rebellion. You know, so usually, now, if the man of God asks you something, he wants to get some understanding what you're doing and you answer him, that's a different thing. But if he reproves you and rebukes you and then you got to make a comment right at him, that's rebellion. Have I ever done it? Absolutely. Many times I've done it, but a lot of times, not purposely, it's because that rebellion's in there. Amen. And it just shows up. So anytime the word is preached and all, it has a corresponding response. It's going to bring something out. Okay, in other words, if he talks about pride one day, he talks about pride, and he talks about humility, well, when the word comes forth, pride will end up being manifested sometimes, but also will humility. Okay. But we need these things. We need these things to find out where we're at. You know, if it shows up, it's not so much a problem. But in our case, because we know that this is not right, because only by pride, only by pride come contention. So contention's coming up, and you see pride is showing up. Well, that's to our advantage. If we repent, we seek the Lord for deliverance. And so it's not that we miss the mark or we don't miss the mark, except we repent. And God is not willing, but all should come to repentance. So anytime the word is preached, you know, and that's what we get in trouble a lot of times. Because I always say we miss the mark two ways. Either we don't aim toward the mark, or we miss it, we don't say we miss the mark. Well, you know what? I miss the mark some way every day. Every day. And it got, you know, I wake up in the morning a lot of times, and sometimes I'll have residuals. I say, oh, God, why did I do that? You know, but what I do is I seek for clearance, you know, each morning and stuff. I'm just in a place of repentance, but that's God dealing with me. And so only God can convince me of sin. So if I'm being convicted, I'm also, God is telling me, not only I'm convicting you of this as you receive it, but guess what? You're forgiven as well. So with the conviction comes the forgiveness. But if you don't receive the conviction, if you walk in the light, as he is the light, you have fellowship in the blood of Jesus cleansing you from all unrighteousness. But if you don't walk in the light, you don't, then you have no cleansing. So you have to receive the judgment. Let's see, okay. Okay, spiritual integrity. That's the word I wrote. Leave on him the scent and now let's see tried. Okay, for a trial to be a trial, it has to be a trial. Okay, so if we're to believe on him, you said, your brother, your sister, the man of God, whatever and stuff, there's going to be things that they're going to do, and you're going to look at it, and you're going to say, you know, you might wonder, wow, you know, is that my brother? Is he doing right? Now what am I saying? If your brother did everything you thought he was supposed to do, just like he was supposed to do, where would be the trial? You understand? If the man of God did everything exactly the way you thought he was supposed to do, where would be the trial? So for a trial to be a trial, it has to be a trial. There has to be something to try you. And so when these things happen, though, but what you look to do is have the right response. And you use it based on what the Word of God says. What is written? What is written? What is written? And that's why we have to have that determination. You know, nothing among us but Christ Jesus and crucified. Because we're sinners. You know, you'll find, you'll see, you're going to see sin in your brother. You're going to see, and guess what? You're going to see it in you. You know, but your determination is that you want to be in you first. You know, I want to be Jesus Christ. I want my old man gone. And in that, you'll look for it in your brother. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, and we should always do things to confirm one another. You know, really, we should strengthen one another. And so I remember Brother Steer, I think he told this to Sister Teresa. He said, "Now don't ever challenge her, my integrity." And when so, you know, I know that Sister Steer, Teresa, you know, there's a lot of turbulence with her and all and such. And probably it was because she was challenging his integrity. And that can happen. So, but where did he get this integrity? God gave it to him, right? So let me read this. Let me go on. I said, I can read me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, so I said that God makes the man of God believable. Now, everybody knows, I can tell you, Pastor Rice is transparent. You know, he is. He's an honest man. You know, he's a man of integrity. And the Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses that every word be established. Now, we are also proof of his ministry. Now, I'm not saying this to flatter him. If I was, he would know it. Now, make a judgment, sir. Am I saying this to flatter you? Okay, I'm speaking the truth. You ask any of the saints that went from grace and all, they'll say the same thing. And even the saints here that all have come to know the man, we can do it. So we confirm one another. Okay, so when he stands up, if he says something, he's telling us the truth. He's telling us the truth. He's a man, he's an honest man, he's a man of integrity. Okay. Okay, anybody believe? Everybody here believes Pastor Rice is a pastor. Raise your hand. All right. See anybody's hands? Okay, good. Now, everybody here believes he's the authority here. Raise your hand. Okay, good. Good. That's good. We should be in one accord with that. Okay, so we're really without excuse, because God does everything he can, gives us all things to obtain life and godliness. And that's because, you know, he knows that we're challenged to believe and all. So he does everything he can as far as his much as, you know, but you got to remember the count of the wild grapes. So you do all this and do all that, and then bring forth the wild grapes. So God always does his part. If there's any coming up short, it's always on us. And so, but we have to realize that when we do this, we're just opposing ourselves. We're our worst enemy. And like Brother Steer said, in this time, for us to be deceived, we deceive ourselves. And mainly we do that when we hear the word and we don't do it. We hear the word and we don't do it. Well, the devil don't deceive you. Your brother don't deceive you. You deceive you. So this is the work, to believe on him and sent. So God, especially in this hour, when time is short, okay, it's like, I think about Pastor like David. He was out there keeping the sheep. He's out there, Grace Community, keeping the sheep. He's under authority. 26 years, I believe, I've known the man. I never one time ever heard him say anything or do anything to turn us away from receiving Brother Steer. Not one time. Not one time. You talk to any of these other saints and all. So when he says that, I know he's telling the truth, because I was there the whole time. And so that's what I'm saying. We confirm one another. You know, he's telling the truth. So, let's see. Okay, so we're without excuse. And so if we really look at the intricate workings of God, and I want to give a testimony. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Now, when I first came to Grace Community, first of all, for me to get there, you know, I was sent by God. You know, so the Lord sent me there. But he gave Brother Steer, evidently, he gave him a witness. Gave him a witness that I should be there. And he worked through Brother Steer. Brother Steer put me under Pastor Rice's authority. And so one thing Brother Steer told us to do, he told us to listen to Pastor Rice. So and you notice when he would come here a lot of times, Brother Steer always supported him in his charge. He did. So that was Brother Steer confirming him too. You know, if we, you know, so what I'm saying is, if you don't believe him for the work's sake. Okay? Believe him for the work's sake. Even us being proof of his ministry, things that happen. So, because remember, this is the work, to believe on him who he has sent. And so when I went there, they put me in the house with Brother Troy. He had his wife and his two daughters. Okay. Now, what I did is, you know, I submitted to Brother Troy being the head of the house there. Now, I was the elder brother, and they treated me like the elder brother. Well, this worked very well. For 7 years, I stayed in there. We had peace. We had a few little bumps here and there, but for the most part, we had peace. And that peace mainly came from us maintaining order in there. I received him as the head of the house. I supported him that he had a wife and two daughters to deal with. So I know that's quite a load on him as it was. And many times, God would have him come back to my room and say something to me. And I'd be going through a trial. And I know God was working right through him to minister to me.
Hallelujah.
Now, he didn't even know it. You know, God would just send him back there and all. And many times, and in that, but something happened there. Now, that 7 years I stayed with him, I never touched his wife, I never touched his daughters. Now, why is that? Because I'm such a holy Joe? No. A couple reasons. One, because I knew that I had that potential in there. Okay. And I had the love of God in my heart, and God had wrought spiritual integrity in me. If I would have done that, how devastating that would have been. First of all, it would hurt Jesus Christ, the prophet, the pastor, Troy and his family, the whole community, the body of Christ, and I would be in danger of my soul. All that for what? It's crazy. So, but that's God, because I knew, and so what I did is I behaved myself wisely. But that's by God's grace. That's integrity of God, because that wasn't my old man. That wasn't my old OMO. And so he's done the same thing with the man of God. He says the same thing with us. And so if I am what I am by the grace of God. If I do anything right, that's Christ working in me. I mean anything. To God be the glory. But he is working in us, saints. But we need to believe it. So let's see. Okay, and I have another testimony concerning Brother Steer. I came here one time, and I had started having a problem with Brother Steer. Oh, I'm the only one, right? Oh, okay. Anyway, only one, right? Okay. Anyway, so what was the problem I was having with him? Well, he was hugging his sisters, and that was bothering me. And so I said, well, where was the problem at? Well, the problem wasn't with him. The problem was with me. And so I knew that, first of all, that what the devil would try to get me to do is not receive the man of God. Remember my testimony about the Lord letting me go through that? Okay, not realizing that how important it is. Because if he can get you to not receive the preacher, then he can move you away. So I was fighting this, and I was trying everything I knew I needed to receive him. And so I went to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I said, I know this ain't right. I know the problem is me. I said, can you help me with this? And he did. It kind of went something like this. This is the understanding he gave me. He said, well, when Brother Steer committed adultery, did you believe him? I said, absolutely. He said, did you see him do it? No. He said, well, if you believed him when he said you didn't see him, well, what when he hugs his sister and he says he's doing right, you can believe him then too. I said, okay, absolutely. See? And so, you know, but Pastor Rice, I heard you say you slapped Sister Rose. I never seen you do that, sir, but you know what? I believe you did it. I've seen you hug these sisters. You said you're doing right. You know, sir, I believe you. You know, because you're a man of integrity. I believe you said, you know what else, too? Pastor Rice, you might, if you believe it's not, you know, I've been tempted to slap Sister Ann. Oh, yeah. You know why? Because she sometimes provokes me. You know, by God's grace, but I've been tempted. Guess that makes me a man like passion. Hallelujah. You know, why is that? You know, sometimes drop, 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 nag, nag, nag. See? And sometimes, but love's not easy to provoke, but it can be provoked. So, you see, well, hallelujah. Huh, Sister Ann?
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay, so so there's a, I like this platform that Pastor Rice has sort of taken on, where he, you know, he'll ask a question, and I've been doing that. It works pretty good, Pastor. So here I have a question. Does God know what he's doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then does he know who he needed to put here as head of the community? Well, if God knows what he's doing, what's the problem with us?
Okay.
Did he know your brother would do what your brother does? Okay. You know, not only has he placed each member in the body, but he has strategically placed each member. That one right next to you is the one you need. And also, in fact, talking about authority and such, even in our households and our dwellings and stuff, there's usually somebody in charge in a sense. You see how my order, example would be in Troy's house? And that's good. We should always be staying in our place and maintaining the order, because there's peace in that. There's safety. Okay, and this is something, because remember, we're in training to go into the kingdom. If you won't do it here and you can't get it down here, you won't go there. So we really need to understand it. And not only that, but in our submission, we're resisting the devil. Anytime we get out of our place, you know, especially if you're a sister and you have a husband, whatever, you're just opening yourself up for attack. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And, you know, and like I said, or even this church in general, because, you know, we're the woman too. You know, and the thing about the Laodicean church age is we don't like to be ruled over, you know, but we need to understand it. In our lack of submission, we're right out there. We're fodder. So we need to get this down. And it's going to, as time goes on, it keeps intensifying. Each day is a little bit more intense. So our defense, more submission, more obedience. We hear by faith and we obey by faith. We begin to do what the word says and God helps us. Amen. It's very simple. Walk in the spirit, live in the spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh. Okay, let's see. Oh, blessed be your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay, now the devil seeks to bind the strong man. Now, there's no stronger message going out on the face of the earth right now except the gospel of the kingdom. And so what makes a strong man? Well, first of all, God makes a strong man. And what makes a strong man is God gets him to a man to a place he realizes he has absolutely no strength of his own. Zero. So then what he does is he doesn't lean on that. He leans on God's strength. The more we get that down, the better off we'll be. Because as long as you're leaning on the old arm of flesh, or you think, you know, you're going to go and kick butt on your own. No. No. But anyway, so that makes the man of God, well, as a target. Number one bullseye, right on. Well, not that him, but it makes his wife, because they're one flesh. Okay, and one way the devil seeks to bind the strong man, he goes through the weaker vessel. See, because if he can get some chaos in the house and all that, no, we need to understand that. Because what he'll try to do, he'll get in your mind, he'll get you working some mistrust, and you know, we say we believe everything Brother Sears said, right? Right? Okay, well, what he says, if you start having a problem with somebody, the problem is you. And he said, if you're having a trust issue, you're having a problem with trust, that means you're not trustworthy. Yeah, Sister Bush, if you're having a problem with trust, it shows you're not trustworthy. Yeah, that's what it shows. Yep.
Amen, brother.
Now, we believe everything Brother Steer said, right?
Hallelujah.
Okay. So, anyway, another reason, you know, when I was thinking about this, and, well, the devil tried to convince me that he tried to make me think that Pastor Rice was a liar. Okay. Well, that I will use that to my advantage. I discerned the spirit, and I said, no. I said, thank you, devil. I said, you just confirmed what I said. See, because a lot of things you can just, you don't have to know the dots and the tittles. You just discern it by the spirit. One time we were over here, Sister Ann asked me a question. Well, right away I knew the spirit wasn't right. And I said, no, Ann. No. Well, from there to their house, she kept nagging me to try to get the no to yes. Well, before I got over there, you know, she was railing on me and rebuking me. And she was doing what I call the strong woman boogie. You know, she was just right on me, boy, let me tell you. But you know what? The answer is still no. The answer is still no, Ann. So, but you see how I discerned that? See, it manifested. I knew what she was asking me right away wasn't right. And then in the process of doing that, but you see, we get this idea with, well, I'll just nag until I get my way. The answer is no, Ann. Because we need to maintain our integrity. Now, I have spiritual integrity. We all have spiritual integrity, but where do we get it? God gave it to us. Even with Job, he said, "Dost thou maintain thy integrity?" Well, he did. Where did he get it? God gave it to him. And he was a reporter, Job. He was a perfect, upright man. He feared God and eschewed evil. Well, I remember Brother Patterson used to give that example of what showed Brother Stair. Well, do you see the same example in this man, Brother Patterson? All right. Well, then, mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. We are his witnesses, and we confirm one another. Okay, let's see. Okay, now, so we need to hold up the hands of the man of God. Now, in the Old Testament, in Moses, they actually physically held his hands up. Okay, well, New Testament, a lot of times things in the Old Testament is, these are natural applications of a spiritual type, or, no, there's spiritual behind it, but you see that when you come from the Old Testament, New Testament, you have to look at more spiritually. The way we do it with the man of God, we don't actually physically hold his hands up. We do it by obeying and receiving him.
Hallelujah.
Now, when we do that, better and more perfectly, we do that, according to the account, what happened was is when they held up the hands of the man of God, Israel prevailed against their enemies. Well, when we tear his hands down by not receiving the stuff, well, then what happens is we're opening ourselves up to get our butt kicked, okay? Well, this also has to do with your husband. Yes, because he's the man of God in your house. You hold his hands up to him by obeying and receiving him. This is in every level. And this is maintaining order. And then with the order, you get peace and the fear of the Lord and camping around them that fear him. Now, how do they know you're fearing him? Because they see your submission. They see your obedience. Okay, let's see. Oh, thank you, Lord. Okay, just another testimony. Oh, I wanted to mention this. Worship. You know, worship has to do, we're called to be worshipers, true worshipers. But worship has to do mainly with how you spend your time. You know, what are you doing with your time? Your physical, literal time. You know, now, you know, you have the account of Mary and Martha. You know, and Mary chose the better part. But now what Brother Stier said about that, he said a true Christian is half Mary, half Martha. So we have times of service, and we have times of devotion.
Amen.
But we don't have time to shenanigans.
No.
We don't have time to, you know, do things that are not profitable to us, filling our spirits and whatever and all, that's not helping us to make ready to get into the kingdom and to get along with our brother and sister. Now we work, and we do work and all, But we do this to serve the Lord as formal worship in what we do. But, you know, and even in our repentance, what a marvelous thing.
Hallelujah.
The purest form of worship. You see how God uses our sins for us? But we have to repent. I'm wrong, God. You're right, God. I'm wrong. Woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a wretched man. I'm a sinful man. I'm undone. I'm a whore myself. Help me, Jesus. You know? And then God's, you see the angels? Wow. They're rejoicing. Can you hear them? Hallelujah. So now this is simple, saints. This, you know, this is the simplicity of it. And, you know, and I always believe that one reason his yoke is easy, his burden is light. He just makes it simple for us. We're just complex. We make it complicated. We move away from the simplicity so easy because of our ways, the way we think we ought to do it. Okay, now I came here one time. This is before I lived on a community where I had any grace. I was just starting to come here, and we came for a feast days. We stayed in a motel. Anyway, Brother Stair came over the airway, and he said, you know, y'all want to come, anyone to come for a visit, come at a certain time. And I was staying with Dave Bishop at the time. And actually amazing, we didn't actually hear this. It was actually Brother Kurt's Brother Kip knocked on the door and told us about this. And so we said, okay. But he had to take his daughter to the airport, bus station, Dave's daughter. He got here late. So I think he said maybe he'd be here at noon or something like that. Well, we got here late. We come up front, and there was really nobody. Terry was here. I think Terry was out there at that time. And but there was probably nobody around. We didn't know what to do. So Dave says, well, I'm going to go walking. So I stayed there. I think me and Terry stayed there. He went walking down here. And then we waited for a little while, and then Dave never came back. Anyway, so we decided to go walking. We come walking up, and here's Brother Stair on the road here, and I think Pastor Rice was here with the community and Victory and Straightway, a lot of saints. Anyway, and Brother Stair was preaching like he does, and so we come walking up kind of toward the end of it, and Brother Stair said, he told the pastors, okay, y'all go ahead on. If I don't tell you to go, you'll just stay here and you won't leave. So he started dispersing everybody. Well, Dave was a chiropractor, and he was giving Sister Teresa a treatment. So he went off with Teresa, and it was just me and the prophet standing there. Now remember, I'm just now coming down here and stuff, and I'm standing there, me and the prophet. And I'm thinking to myself, oh God, I hope I don't pee in my pants. You know, I mean, I'm like, what am I doing here? Okay. And he says something to me. He says, you doing all right? And I had a big old smile on his face. I said, yeah, blessed are the Lord. And he went like this. He went. And he got this look, and he turned, and he started heading for the radio room. And I went, oh, my God, what happened? What just happened? Okay. I didn't know. So I was going back. We were driving back, and I talked to Dave. And I was saying, hey, Dave. I said, man, you just left me there. I said, I didn't know what to do, you know. And Brother Stair asked me if I was doing all right, and I said, yeah, I'm doing all right. I said, okay, blessed to the Lord. He said, you said what? What did you say? Why'd you said you didn't say that, did you? Yeah, I did. He said, yeah. Oh, man, I can't believe you said that. Why? He said, because he just got finished rebuking Pastor Dow, I think, for saying that. And Dave walked up. He said the same thing. He rebuked him. So here I am. I come up there like I didn't hear what he said. You know, imagine the frustration of this man over years. Preaching, 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 preaching. And then nobody hear what he says. You know, so I could see why his conduct changed. He walked down. But I learned something from this. That was the first time I got what I call a silent rebuke. He rebuked me. He didn't say a word, but I got rebuked. Okay, but I learned something. And the connotation was that, you know, we say, oh, I'm blessed to the Lord. You know, he said, that's your iniquity showing up.
Amen.
See, because we are blessed to the Lord, but we always want to do that in humility. You know, we got to understand, for except for the grace of God, there go we. We're only blessed because God chose us. We don't have any merit. No special attributes, nothing. We are nothing, and He is everything. The more we realize that, the better we are. So we'll be thankful for the blessing. We won't presume on Him and be slowful and lax and neglect. So that was a good lesson to me. And the other, but I learned something else in this. I learned that it's very good to monitor the man of God. His response to you, what he says. When Pastor Rice says something to me, I don't poop it off. He's not like he's idly talking, okay? And that's very good because even his response to things like that, he don't necessarily have to say anything. Based on his response, a lot of times I know what he's saying. And what he deals with is, saints, and more I'm learning to do this. Well, no, he doesn't. He's not listening to what you're saying. He's hearing what you're saying. He's listening for the spirit behind it. So you might say this, you might say that or whatever, but he's discerning by the spirit. And so, but what I'm getting at is that it's always good because if he says something to me, I start checking myself. I said, okay, why do you say that? Why do you say that? Now, I'm not trying to over think this, as it were, but it's always good to know. And even when I deal with Pastor Rice, you know, he reminds me a lot of my father. I knew my father loved me, knew he cared about me, but when I was around him, I carried myself carefully. And we should do that. That gives the man of God double honor. And we, you know, he's God's anointed. And in other words, we shouldn't treat him like he's one of our ex-drinking buddies. Okay, no. We should give the man honor where honor is due. And in doing so, God is honored. Because remember, he's the similitude. And we're getting ready. He didn't choose it. You know, God gave it to him. He gave him his calling. He gave him his integrity. He gave him the heart of a shepherd. Okay. Oh, I think it's the last part of this. So now we're also talking about things on the plate. We're in a time where women will rule over you. And, you know, as a Laodicean church in general, we don't like to be ruled over. But, you know, we have to remember, it's been said that God's going to restore authority. Well, one of the authority he needs to restore is male authority out there, especially in the world and all. But we need to understand that, especially with the church, but the sisters in general too, is this is a spirit that tries to come upon our sisters. And how do they do it? Do they stand up and say, you know, I'm the authority here? So no, what they do is they don't do what they're told. When you do that, that's you saying you're the authority. And in doing so, you're not in your place. Now, I'm saying we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm not saying I'm taking top shots at your sisters. But this is what's on the plate. This is what we're dealing with in these times. So, and that's what Pastor Rice says. We deal with what's here, what's going on, the present distress, the present truth. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, let's see. Then we'll read this one. Talk about here, and maybe I'll find it in Ecclesiastes. Let me read it. And this is, again, pertaining to hearing. Because basically, you know, and Brother Sarah talked about this many times. He says, well, I was the devil, which I'm not. I would block your hearing. So what affects our hearing is basically two things. One is the condition of a heart. If your heart's not right, you're not going to hear right. It don't matter what you hear. You can be line upon line, precept, give it all to you if your heart's not right. So we always got to be working on getting our hearts right. And the other thing is we're talking. Our minds reveling and doing something. And so that brought me to scripture. It says, to keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth to let thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. And, so for a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. So what I'm saying in that is that, you know, when the man of God is speaking or the preaching is coming forth, you know, I don't think it's wrong to make a comment or whatever, infirm the man of God. It's good to look at his face, make eye contact with him. Encourage him because he's standing up. He like me. I'm appreciated. I'm looking at faces. I'm looking like I'm being received. I'm thankful for that. That helps me out. Okay. But at the same time, you know, we don't over-preach the man. You know, if we got to be, you know, and what's actually happening is we're not listening. Too much of this, too much of this. Now, you can say amen, praise the Lord, whatever. But, you know, it's a balance. It's a fine line. You know, we want to receive him, want to acknowledge him, want to say amen, but not excessively. Excessively, because when you do that, what's happening is you're really not listening. You can't like with your microphone. You can't push the mic and be in transmit and hear at the same time. So you either got to be in transmit or hear. Okay, so it's better to be more ready to hear. Hear what? What the Spirit says. Okay. Woo, thank you, Jesus. So God said I would give you pastors after my own heart would feed you knowledge and understanding after his own heart. Now, does God know what he's doing? Okay. So I'm not so much trying to, I'm not preaching Pastor Rice per se. I'm preaching, believe on him who God has sent.
Amen.
See, this is man, God's working through us, the man of God, and he's a similitude, and God's going to give him, you know, what he needs. He knows the state of the flock because God helps him. In his judgment, God helps him with his judgment. So if he's going to make a judgment, God's helping him with it. You know, and even Brother Sears said himself, he said, now if I make a judgment, and he said, God can come and overrule it. So having faith in God, you just trust in God. I mean, the number one element of faith is trusting God. You know, and in God's foreknowledge and whatever, and I think Edward brought this out. He said that he's seen times where God did overturn Brother Stairs, some of his judgments. So, I mean, it's simple. And so when we believe, we trust in the man of God, we trust in one another, we're trusting in God. You know, and we have to have this mindset that I can't be done wrong. You know, because God is ordering our steps. These things we go through, it's to deal with what's in our hearts and us and stuff. We need the adversity. We need the trials. We need our brothers and sisters. You know, and so you can just think about it. When you go into the kingdom, you know, the one that you might despise here or whatever, and all, well, they're going to be in the kingdom. And when we're going to be in the together, we're going to be together forever. So maybe we should start getting used to living with one another. You know, because otherwise, if you don't, you may not be in that number. And so that's why it's so important to discern the Lord's body. And I always say the best part to start is here. I say we miss it most of the time because we don't discern that we're a member of the Lord's body. And in doing so, we don't act right. We don't do right. You know, so I realize more and more that things happen to me. And this is a good example. I want to say this. One thing we don't realize, too, is that, let me get a drink of water. Sometimes we think, boy, my peace would really be good if all of a sudden that brother just quit doing that and square up. Or that sister stopped doing that. Boy, Lord, if you could just fix old Edward or whatever and all and such. Well, something happened to me. This was very, see, and I was dealing with a brother. He kept doing this thing. Oh, God, it was irritating me. And he kept doing it. Then I went to the brother and said, brother, why you keep doing that? That's so, you know, well, he just kept doing it. Then Pastor Rice preached the word specifically because of that specific thing. And I said, oh, God. So in my mind, I'm thinking, he's just rebellious. You know, what's wrong with him? You know, well, I came up one day, and there it is. He'd done it again. And I said, oh. I said, well, you know what, Lord? That sure does irritate me. But you know what? I'm sure I do a lot of stuff that irritates him. Who cares? And I just went and took care of it. You know what happened? He stopped doing it. Well, what was going on? Well, God was withholding his deliverance because he needed that situation to work the work in my heart. So when I got my heart right, you know, then deliverance came. Okay. So a lot of times when you think, wow, boy, sure like old Walter there, square up, you know, and not realize it, God's using old Walter to square me up. You know? So the more you receive that, now this may be a long time thing or whatever and stuff, but in the process of doing that, I think Edward even mentioned it, you know, that things happen to him as a messenger sent to buffet him. You know, so we need these things. God keeps us crying out, you know, and even in heaven, because if not, sometimes we might get the big head and get puffed up. If everything went your way and everything was going just like you like it, then who would be striving to get to the kingdom? You know, years ago when I ran into Sister Ann one time in the Maranatha wash house there, and this is before, whatever. But anyway, and this is when she was starting to have a hard time walking and stuff. And I thought she had back problems or something. I don't know. But anyway, I just happened to run into her there. So I said to her, to just encourage her, I said, Sister Ann, I said, God don't want us being comfortable here. I said, so you look at your afflictions and all, you can just say, well, thank you, Lord, because if I didn't have trials and afflictions and all, well, who wanted to go into the kingdom, you know what I'm saying? Everything went your way, you know, and that's just how it is. So, but like Jesus said, for the suffering, the door of the cross, for the joy, set forth. We have to believe this by faith. But we have to apply it. You know, we're all good at sitting here. We can read the scriptures, and we say this all the time. We can check the right answers. Yep, suffer yourself to be defrauded. Prefer your brother. Check, 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 check. And get, you know, I get a perfect score until you get out there in time. You know, we like the idea of preferring our brother as long as it's us. You know, that's what we got to look at. Yeah. Do I know anything about that? Absolutely. You know, I'd sure like to get up there and get that chicken before Ed gets it. You know, but the thing is, what I'm saying is, so that's why it's good. This is practical for us. And even when we miss the mark, you know, you don't, if you fall off the horse, just get back up. Amen. Just say, okay. And even if, okay, it's not wrong to hope that your brother does right. Okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay. I mean, you should have the expectation. Okay. But the thing is you can't make them do right. You can't beat them over the head. You can't. So what you got to do is just learn to be content with the situation you find yourself in. What are you going to do about it anyway? You know what I'm saying? I mean, so if you really figure that like it is and you just let it work, let patience have its perfect work, let brotherly love continue until you become friends. And now we believe everything Brother Steer said, right? He said, you won't lay down your life for your brother, but you lay down your life for your friends. And love does what's required. So what the bond that you're going to get, that unfeigned fervent love, is going to be through the trials, the offenses, and all that and stuff. You just have to realize that this is all God's, because we've been made perfect through love. I always thought that basically as God perfects his love in us, we'll just sin less. Because, you know, you're just sinless. It'll just be the result of that. You know, but we're going to be dealing with sin and iniquity till we get to the end of this thing. And just one other thing that I think will be done. Now I have no idea what's going to happen when we get in the thick of things. But I was looking at some of the seven church ages, some stuff I got from Brother Brandon, and I maybe look some more at it. But one account in there that was, you know, they always had a sort of son of man for each dispensation, or somebody that, you know, that was leading the church. And there was an account of the brother that got killed. He got killed. So, but the man of God went over, laid his hands on him, raised him back up. So I just believe in the end we're going to be seeing the miracles and the healings again. I think we're going through a time now where we have to be seemingly forsaken. And I believe what God is doing now is he's getting us established in the faith. So we won't need the external signs to carry us through. You understand what I'm saying? And we've been told that as it was in the beginning, so shall be in the end. And Rick's emphasizing about, you know, believing A.C. Valdez's prophecy that we're going to be saved, that we know we're saved, we're going to be healed, we know we're healed. So what I'm saying is this is hope. We keep in the hope and believe in that. I believe in the pouring out of the former latter rain. You know, God's going to do all these things. He's going to have to. We're going to need strength to get through it. But what is going to really make our faith work is our love. Okay. And he that has been forgiven much, loveth much. So that's why I said, let the righteous smite you, be as a kindness. As we forgive one another and all, we're being made perfect in the love and stuff. That will make our faith work. That's real love. Real love. Not just smoochy, smoochy, smoochy stuff. Okay. Now you can have some of that. That can be in there too. Of course. But what I'm saying is, love does what's required. What in every situation. So anyway, I think I'm done, Pastor Rice. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, Then my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Hallelujah. All right.
Let me have
this. All right, sir.
You did a good job, Brother Timothy. Correction, you're not done, though.
I know that. I know, sir. Yeah.
We're not done, brother.
No, we're not.
All right. Well, I don't mock when I say, talk about believing everything Brother Steer said. No, no. We just have to put it in context. Everybody understand? I'm not mocking if I say, well, y'all believe everything Brother Steer said? Because we do. But it has to be perfected. It's like, you love God? Yeah, I don't doubt that. You're Christians. So in the preaching and my dealing with you all, I'm not saying we're not Christians or we don't love God or we don't believe Brother Steer. I'm holding you to it. Everybody understand? Hallelujah. Just holding you to it. Praise the Lord. Now, flattery, it don't work for me because I've seen too much of it. Absolutely. Right here in this place. I've seen you do it. I see you're old Pastor Rice and you go do the absolute. Yes, so come on. I can deal with that stuff. Ain't God good? He gives us so many blessings. But it's evident that God loves us. Praise the Lord. And that's why we love him. We're going on to perfection. Let us go on to perfection. Praise the Lord. We need someone to pray for us. Yeah, Timothy does a good job. But it comes with the cost, of course. Amen. It's like, you know, when I talk about submitting to Brother Steer, it's how I got where I am. Absolutely. And that's how you'll get where God wants you to go. Yeah, absolutely. You'll be working with God then when you submit one to another and submit to them that have the rule over you. I never encountered anything. I'm not sorry that I submitted to Brother Steer. Everybody understand? Because in so doing, I submitted to God. But I only were able to do that by grace. I'll always tell you that. Praise God. But it is a testimony. As the brother said, no one can bear witness that I said anything to turn them away from Brother Steer because I didn't do that. I still don't do it. Hallelujah. That would be saying things to turn you away from God. And I don't want to do that. I want to turn you to God. Hallelujah. So God bless you, brother. Amen. So we got to get through the rest of your trials. Uh-huh. Praise the Lord. Who's going to pray for us today? Brother David, are you willing? All right. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord, we do thank you, Father, for another day, Lord, and for another day to wait patiently for you, Lord, and for we must be patient as you are patient for the precious fruit of the earth. So we look forward to you coming, but we must go through this trial, and we are going through, Lord, and that with you, Lord, all things are possible, and we shall go through, and only because of you, Lord, not because of us, what we have done, but because what you, Lord, have done for us and what you continue to do. So thank you, Lord, for being mindful of us, for helping us along the way. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the greatest gift of all, of your Son.
Hallelujah.
To lay his life down for us who deserve to die. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, help us this day. And let this words fall upon good ground, Lord. Let it penetrate our darkened hearts, my God. And, oh, Father, we need to turn to you, Lord. And we need to turn to you. And we need to redeem the time. For as you told us in your word, the days are evil.
Yes, Lord.
We know that more and more each and every day, Lord. This is as the Sodom and Gomorrah, as the days of Noah, only evil continually, Lord. And therefore, you have told us that you would keep us from the evil that is in the world. And I thank you for that. And I thank you for caring for us, Lord. So let us cast our care upon you. Let us trust in you, Lord, in you alone. For we cannot save ourselves. We cannot. And we look to you, Lord, for you are a great Savior. You will come again, just as you promised. But we just must be patient, Lord. So help us this day, Lord. Strengthen our hands to labor. Help us to work together as one. Give us the knowledge, the wisdom that we need, Lord, to accomplish what you would have us to do, Lord. What would you have us to do today, Lord? Help us to know that. Help us to walk more perfectly and to come towards you and not away from you, Lord. For this is an untoward generation. They go away from you, Lord. We need to come to you and to come to ourselves and know that we are sinners, but we are saved by your amazing grace. So thank you, Father, once again, for your many blessings, for you have blessed us so much, Lord. And oh, Lord God, help all of us, Lord, to come to that knowledge that we are sinners and we need to come to you. Help us to remember our first works, to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So thank you, Father. Thank you for the pastor, Lord, for the prophet who has gone on before. And thank you, Lord, for warning us of things not yet seen, but we know, Lord, your word shall be fulfilled, for your word is true from the beginning unto the end, and you declared the end in the beginning, because you, Lord, you know all things. So thank you, Father. Help us, Lord, this day. Touch your people. Turn our hearts unto you, Lord. Cause thy face to shine. Oh, stretch out thy hand to heal, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And heal us completely. Deliver us, Lord, completely. In Jesus' name, Father, amen.
Amen. Let the church say amen. Thank you, Brother David, for praying for us. So now you're going to eat, huh, Tim? Thank you, Lord. Now, I liked Timothy giving his little testimonies. We all know that the right response to Brother Sarah, how you doing, is thou knowest. But, you know, sometimes folk would say that, and he said, well, you know that I know. Because though we learn what to say, we still got to let it, we still have to come to perfection. And that's what I say about believing what Brother Sarah say. We have to come to perfection because we believe him as the measure of grace we have, the measure of understanding, but we have to grow in that. All right? Yeah, folk learn to say, yeah, they, yeah, thou knowest. He said, well, you need to believe that. Ain't God good? Maranatha, saints, y'all know God knows? Amen. The Lord is coming.